In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peter's politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
We're going to begin this message, which I was going to entitle Deception Deep and Deeper, but I changed the title at the last minute to The Deceiver Shall Be Revealed. There's a passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I wrote it on the list, and I want you to bring it up on the screen right now. That's the first one. It says, "And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed." And it's occurred to me that the time has come. I felt sensed that the revealing was done when we put out the track called The Man of Sin and Lawlessness Being Revealed. We did that in year 2007. But I've come to understand that it's a process. It's a process where we begin to see things slowly. And we begin to have this blindness that has come upon us in regards to the spell casting that they've done. This blindness begins to allow us to see this man of lawlessness as a tree. That's where we left off in the last message. Someone sent me this, and I put this out in the message I brought in Branson called Deception Detection. "Dear Pastor, I'm 71 years old, a 71-year-old white male, saved and baptized back in 63, and I'm a person that just doesn't accept everything at face value, meaning I dig into an idea. I have a very in-depth study, so this has led me to realize that not everything is as perceived. My wake-up call, so to speak, came when I was reading Revelation 12:9, where Satan and his angels were cast into the earth with him, and he deceived the whole world. If Satan and his snakes deceive the whole world, then I must also be deceived. What a wake-up call." Now, to save a lot of reading for you, because I have been listening to your broadcasts over a local radio station and over the months and over the internet, I have gathered a lot of instructions. "As for your teaching, the word of our Heavenly Father and our Savior, you are so on target. No surprise to you. I ask our Father, Jesus, and the holy angelic realm, I and our Father, Jesus and the angelic, let's pray. Father in heaven, I now come against those forces that would dare to try to come against me. I bind them and I cast them to your feet, Lord Jesus. Send them on to hell. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I and our Father, Jesus and the holy angels realm are rejoicing over how you do not hold back on telling the truth. Blast them deceiving snakes, Brother Pete. Well, that we shall do. We shall continue to blast away. In this message, we'll be more on deception. Now, in way of review, 2 Timothy 3:13 tells the time that we are living in. Very rapidly, we review it. It says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. It is true, and it is true that there are those out there, according to 1 John 2:26, that are trying to deceive you. This is what it says. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And let me tell you that the very one that's trying to deceive you is the one you never suspect that is trying to deceive you. It's called deception. And still in way of review, we're told in James 1:16, do not be deceived, my beloved, excuse me. As far as giving that old-time religion that makes me love everybody, that religion is the satanic serpent religion. He is called a deceiver, and they do not want you to do anything but love. And let me tell you about the serpent, dirty birds, behind these church pulpits that have a blanket policy of you to forgive everybody and to love everybody. That is not the religion that is taught from this Bible, or the way of life that's taught in this Bible. Absolutely not. That's what they want in order to be protected. And what I want is godliness in your life. I want you to have a godly love. I want you to have a godly hate for the world. I want you to have a godly love for the Lord and not a love of the world. But I also want you to have a godly hate in another area. And I pointed out last week's message that godly hate is hating what God hates. But if you really want to grow in godly hating, you need to understand that it's not only hating what God hates, it's hating who God hates. And who does God hate? According to Romans 9, it tells us in verse 13, he hates Esau. I gave Malachi last week. We'll go to New Testament scripture this week. It says in Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Let me tell you some things that I've learned about old Esau along the way. As I said, the purpose of grace is so that we'll grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've grown to understand how these deceivers work. I want you to grow in your hate of Esau. And I come to realize when it comes to old Esau, first of all, he sold his birthright outright. So don't cry about the fact, old Esau, that you can't have what was already sold. It was a done deal. You sold it for a mess of red pottage. And there's a reason the Bible talks about Esau coming out as red all over. He'll eventually, if you let him, if you'll grow in the grace and knowledge, he will eventually show you his colors. And one of his colors is red. the red Edomite. But they'll disguise themselves. And then they cry about the blessing. The blessing was gotten by Jacob by deception. Well, that's the problem. You know what I found out? The deceiver hates to be deceived. Esau was a deceiver, a conniving, deceiving man from the beginning. And the book of Jasher really brings that out. And his brother Jacob knew what a deceiver his brother Esau was, and so he just out-deceived his brother, and he deceived and got the blessing. And what I've learned about the Edomite, another thing, not only will his colors come out, but he cannot receive a blessing. You just try it. You try to bless these Edomites, do good to them, and for a period of time, you might get by, but they just can't receive it, and they just cannot help but turn back on you and give you evil for the good that you've done for them. Now, you start thinking about it. That's the purpose of the snake. That's where the venom comes. You think, oh, I did all this and did that, and now you do this to me? Well, they enjoy the bitterness that that'll create in you. But oh, Esau today still cannot receive a blessing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin, as the King James calls him, or the man of lawlessness, as the New American Standard, and sin is a transgression of law, so they're both right, is a deceiver. It says, we read, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day which shall not come, that's talking about the day of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that's the King James. Go back to that scripture, please. Yes. I want you to notice that the man of sin, they have it there, will be revealed, the son of perdition. Judas Iscariot was called the son of what? Perdition, was he not? And I believe, as I pointed out in the last message, the reason Jesus wanted him there, he wanted those apostles to get a good, healthy, humbling dose of deception, which they did with old Pastor Judas, the son of destruction. But he was revealed. Now, that same passage we read in the New American Standard Translation. It says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. You want to know why that word destruction, perdition, same means just basically that, destruction. You want to know why this country's being destroyed? Because of who's behind the pulpits in this country today. And the people that are behind the pulpits in this country, for the most part. Now, the day I prayed, or I guess it was last night, I prayed for the remainder, the little remnant out there of men who are godly men who still stand against sin. But I'll tell you something, they got little flocks, but they're still out there, I believe. But predominantly, the men behind the pulpits today are destroying this land because they've done away with the law of God. And they got their theology of how it's done. Oh, the law is against us. We're now under grace. And we're now, on and on it goes. And all the evidence of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 is all across this land. And God said, this is what will happen to your land if you go against my law. And Jesus said, don't you even think that I came to destroy the law. But they put it in your mind because they are double thinkers. They are spell casters. If Jesus said, don't think that I came to destroy the law, and they come in and get you to think that he did destroy the law and did do away with it, and you believe both are true, you've been cast into a spell. Oh, devil spell casters they are. You want to know why they've come against this church so hard at the time that they did? You dirty birds, you barking dogs, you think you're going to stop the train? Well, think again. You hellhounds. thank God, and you're gone. I tell you, this is war, and when you figure out what they're doing and whose side they're on, you start getting just a little bit, as they say, hot under the collar. Would that you were hot or you're cold. Well, I want to love everybody. Well, then go to hell with everybody. Because that's a hellish, hellish religion. If you don't learn to hate Esau, it won't be my fault, because I didn't try to get you to have godly hate. This is an evil, bad person, this person of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a person of lawlessness. That's why we have our track called The Man of Lawlessness Being Revealed. Revealing the man of sin. I recommend to you, I've read that twice since I've done this sermon that I'm doing right now, and it's a good read. I'm enjoying my own writing. It brings back the things that you need to understand. I love the illustration that's in there. I know I'm patting myself on the back, but the illustration is this. Suppose you have a country that's full of termites, and so you have these termite eradication companies set up. And they are to detect termites, and they are to find termites, and they're eradicate termites. That's their job. Some of them are big corporate termite companies. Some are independent termite companies. But there's these termite companies all across the land, and every corner you'll see them with a big tall steeple. But the houses are being destroyed by termites everywhere. Termites are eating everything. Now, there's two ways people might respond to that. Well, of course, the termite inspection company said, hey, fighting termites is a tough job. We need more money. Send us money. And so there are some people sending money to the termite inspectors. Then there's others saying, hey, I ain't sending any money. I don't think you're doing your job. Those are the two positions. And neither one are taking the right position. The right position is the termite company is not against termites, they're for termites. And they're there to protect the termites. And so when sin is in the land, sin is lawlessness. And when they say the law of God has been done away with, what are they doing? They are promoting the termites while appearing to be against the termites. Now in that book, we talk a lot about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We go to verse 4 of that chapter in the King James Version. It says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God. Notice that this man, he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's the King James. Now, New American Standard puts it this way. We'll go to the New American Standard next. The New American Standard says that who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Rapidly, in way of review, there are two temples in Scripture. There is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 talks about that. And what is the main seat in that body? Your mind. When you have the humanistic mind, that is, you decide good and evil. Whenever you have someone saying deciding good and evil, they become the God, you see. That's one way of looking at it. But another way that most people don't look at it is that the temple is also the church. We are told in 1 Corinthians 3:9 through 13, we won't go there, that God has a building. That old temple represented God's building, and he has a building today. It's the temple, the church. And who is in the seat there in that temple that opposes God? In other words, in opposing God, they go against the word of God. Showing himself as God. In other words, he makes rules that overrules the word of God. He makes rules that overrules the rule of God. And this is all still in the way of review. A perfect example of that is the Pope. What the Pope decrees is above and beyond what the Bible says. But you take the same way with a Protestant preacher behind the pulpit. The Bible, for example, the Bible, going back to the example I use time after time, and they hate it, is baptism. The Bible says that baptism saves us. They say, no, baptism doesn't save us. The Bible says that you must be baptized. That is, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins in order to have your sins remitted. And they say, no, that's not true. So what are they doing? They are making themselves out as God themselves, opposing him, displaying himself as being a man, they love to say it this way, a man of God. A Holy Spirit-filled man of God. And they can get you and I to believe that they are. How do they do that? Well, we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. They do it by power, signs, and false wonders. It says, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with all the activity of Satan, with all power, signs, and false wonders. Now, this is all a way of review, and now I rapidly move on. I got to rapidly do it. I want you to see Esau. See him as a fruit tree. This is still from the last message. But we go to Mark chapter 8, and this is how the blindness begins to dissipate and the sight starts coming in. This man will be revealed. We read, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hand on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then he again laid his hands, and we'll stop there, because I want to keep moving on. But the first thing he began to see when he started getting his sight was men as trees. And I want you to see that Jesus tried to get us to see this false prophet as trees. In the last message, the wolf in sheep's clothing, the false prophet, was shown as trees, bad trees that cannot produce good fruit, only bad fruit. Remember that? And then, still in way of review, we go to John 15, 1 through 7. Now, as we go there, remember Jesus said that a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. He said, "Beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, in thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many mighty miracles?' He said, 'Then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness.'" Well, they're a lawless breed. Esau, still in the way of review from the last message, he did not do like Jacob did. Jacob was put in study of the law, and Esau wouldn't do it, according to the book of Jasher. So the Edomite that stands behind the pulpit, and I want you to understand something, they were twins. The Edomite looks like a Jacobite, but they're lawless. How did they get these miracles done? Casting out demons and so forth and so on. By the false signs and false wonders. By the signs and false wonders. Now, where was I going with that thought? I think I was going to this. That Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And he went on to say that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. But we must understand something. A bad tree can bear bad fruit. And I pointed that out in the last message. And we went to this passage in the last message. Let's do it again. John 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And so we pointed out that the fruit is answered prayer. The fruit is answered prayer. Good fruit and bad fruit. That means there can be bad answered prayer. Think about that a little bit. And think about this, prayerless Christians. You cannot, if fruit is answered prayer, you cannot get prayer answered unless you pray. And if you find yourself as a prayerless Christian, you can be assured of this, Jesus will cut you off and throw you into the fire. And I believe that that fire is the destroying, purging, last day, day of the Lord fire of 2 Peter chapter 3, when it talks about this world being destroyed by fire. And you want to be destroyed in it, you just stop your praying. And he will see to it that as a fruitless branch, you are cut off and thrown into it. Now, we need to see Esau as a bad fruit tree. That means that we need to see him as a bad man. If Esau, the cunning hunter of men's hearts, as Jacob, as Book of Jasher says, is evil in this war, and he's a deceiver, how do you suppose he's going to portray himself? Think real hard, sheep. Bah. As good. Evil always disguises itself as good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. We are told that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. We read that passage of Scripture. It says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Now, I'm moving fast here because I've got so much I want to cover, but I want you to know that that word, angel of light, I looked it up in a Greek lexicon, and it means messenger, angel here, or by implication, pastor over there in Revelation 1. In other words, get this down. Satan will appear as a pastor, a messenger of God. And it says here that, therefore, it's not surprising if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Now, how do they do it? For one thing, they'll give you good stuff. That's how they get you to get the poison. I've learned a lot of good things from some of these Judeo-Christians, Edomite preachers. They've got some good things. They, though, do by the power of God. And real rapid in way of review, remember I've already showed this in the deception detection sermon and in the last sermon. This is the way it works. We're not going to go to the scripture, but in Acts 10:38, we are told that Satan can make sick, and that Jesus healed those that were made sick by Satan. And I read to you examples, and there are several examples in the Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs where the early church understood how healings came about on the other side. And basically, it's very simple. The person on that is sick, that's brought before the wicked one that appears to be righteous, is made sick by a demon. And then when this man lays his hands on this person and prays over him, the demon lifts himself off the sick person, and voila, the sick person appears to be well. Remember this in way of review? And so everybody seeing it, they say, man, this man is a man of God. He can heal people. And it's very possible, people, that the man himself is being deceived by Satan, that he is a man of God. And here's how the deception goes on. Here, he gets healings, and he's not even baptized for the remission of sins in an organization that doesn't even teach it. Now, does he think he needs to be baptized for remission of sins? No. He's got healings, and then you've got people that know what needs to be done for the baptism to become a Christian, baptized for remission of sins, and they see this healing being done by those that aren't, so they consider it a fake healing. And yet, he looks over there and sees that in their camp, they've thrown the baby out with the bathwash. They have no healings whatsoever. They don't even believe in it. And so it becomes confusion, and Satan continues to deceive. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:6 tells us that in his time he shall be revealed. Here's something I find very interesting. Right at the time that this preacher and this church and the national and international ministry that goes out from this church, Scriptures for America, right at the time that we began to expose D.C. street sorcery and we began to pray against sorcery, they attacked, falsely accused. They tried to divide. The enemy is still out there. And they accused of the very thing they do. The very thing that these Edomites behind the pulpit do is practice sorcery, soothsaying, and spellcasting. And that's the part I want to show you in this sermon today. In Micah chapter 5, verse 12, it tells us that God is going to bring an end to spellcasting and fortune telling. When's he going to do that? When the saints begin to pray as we're praying right now. We're praying prophecy. We're praying in faith. We are not only exposing the sorcery in that DC Street Sorcery DVD, but we are bringing it to a cessation. Is that the word I want? To stop. By the way, how many of you have stopped listening to the news? I've found a whole lot of people are stopped. They haven't listened. I haven't listened to news for a couple months. Took a survey today in Sunday school class. Everybody's saying the same thing. I talked to a man yesterday. He was saying the same thing. You want to know when it started? I believe it started when we started praying to stop the spell casting. And that's how God is doing it. They can't. Their spell casting is coming to an end. Well, now, the enemy that's on the side of Satan is getting upset, and they have attacked us and accused us and your preacher of some kind of sorcery, because the only way they can do their false wonders and their miracles is through sorcery, and I'm going to show you how they do it. But Micah 5:12 tells us that God's going to cut it off. He says, I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you will have fortune tellers no more. I think the King James says, I'll cut off witchcraft and you'll have soothsayers no more. This is what will expose, cause this man of lawlessness to be revealed. He's been using sorcery and fortune telling or soothsaying to perform his power, signs, and false wonders. they are such hypocrites, just like Jesus said. Hypocrites. Now let me explain. If I were to go to a fortune teller, and I go to this fortune teller, and the first thing this fortune teller tells me is that, oh, I see that you, blah, blah. And that fortune teller tells me something that only I and maybe my wife or somebody intimate knows about me. But they know. What has that person done? They've got credentials suddenly. And suddenly I'm willing to pay more money to have them tell my future. And then when they tell my future, chances are 9 times out of 10 it'll come to pass because it becomes a self-fulfilling thing. Now that's how fortune telling goes. And if I were to go to a fortune teller, these Edomites behind the pulpit would condemn me. And rightly so, because the Bible condemns that, you see. But Esau, Edom, preacher, holy man of God, he does it all the time. As well as spellcasting all the time. I talked to a man yesterday and he was telling me, give you an idea of spellcasting. Spellcasting is double think. Getting people to think the same thing is true when they're opposites. He saw a bumper sticker that said, Christians for Obama. Now, if that isn't double think, I don't know what is. This half-black president declared June to be National Gay Pride Month. Did you know that? Oh, Christians for Obama. What is it? It's spellcasting is what it is. It's doublethink. But the preachers do it all the time from the pulpit. Well, when you start saying send the spellcasters to hell, you don't think some of those preachers are going to come against us and accuse us of not being godly, not having the pure milk, pure water of the word? You lying hypocrite bastards. It's about time there's become godly hate. And here's how they do it. This Edomite preachers, they all the time, you go to them as a man of God, and say you go to them as prayer, for prey. You go to them as their prey. You go to have them pray over you. And they tell you something about yourself. How did they know that? It's true, but only you and maybe somebody else knew. How did you know that? The Spirit told me. What's different? What is different between that and the fortune teller? Would you tell me? A spirit told the fortune teller too. Oh, but this is the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. The Bible is very clear. See, Satan counterfeits everything. The Bible is very clear that there can be a man of God. Peter was a man of God. He could see what Ananias and Sapphira did or what Simon the sorcerer was. Paul, in Acts 13:10, I think it was, saw what Elymas was. But these people, when you come to them for prayer, and all of a sudden they say, well, you know, you've got this in your life and that in your life. Oh, how did he know? But he must be a man of God. It's nothing more than fortune telling. Bible example, in Acts 16, verse 16. We'll read that story. Bring it up on the screen when we can. Acts 16:16. Computer's a little slow, I guess. Here it is. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Notice she was telling the truth, wasn't it? The spirit of divination will tell you truth. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed in turn and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out at that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. Now, I want to tell you something. These Edomites behind the pulpit, they know their profit is gone when their racket is exposed. They're using soothsaying and sorcery, and we are coming against it and condemning it. And so what do? They accuse us of doing the very thing they're doing, because they know if we are allowed to keep doing, praying against the sorcery, their profits are going to come to an end. That's how they get people to pay them. You'll come back and pay them more and have them pray over you. The Bible talks about testing the spirits. And in 1 John 4, 1, it says that we're not to believe every spirit. We get so easily taken in with this. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You've got to test the spirits. One of the best tests you can have is the Shibboleth test. I want to go to a verse, 1 John 4:4. They intuitively, these preacher creatures, Peter says they're creatures of instinct. They instinctively know that if you have the Holy Spirit, you are going to be on to them. That's why they got to keep you from being baptized for the remission of sins. This is what that scripture says. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." They know that they will be overcome by those who have the Spirit of God in them. The testing of the spirits, the best thing you can do is the Shibboleth test. The Shibboleth test is, do they preach and teach baptism for the remission of sins? Now, a person can be wrong. I could see a young man that loves the Lord getting caught up in a denomination started by a woman, and in that denomination for 50 years, and they don't teach baptism, remission of sins. I can see it happening. And then you finally realize that all these years you've been saying the sinner's prayer over people and telling them to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. You realize that you haven't saved one person from hell. You haven't brought one person to Jesus. Now, that takes some humility to admit that. Amen? But you can't have repentance without humility. That's why it says repent and be baptized. But I can see how it would happen. And so this is what I don't see. And that is, how is it possible that once you finally supposedly saw the light, and now you're making your money off of a group of people that know baptism, remission of sins. How is it possible, once you've now supposedly saw the light, that you can go back with your old preacher brethren and have dinner with them and have little conferences with them where the old preachers of the organization get together and not say once to them, "Brethren, we were wrong. We have sinned." Particularly when you were high up in that organization to begin with. You could send a letter out and say, "You know, I found the truth and I'm trying to get the truth out, and we need to stop this sinning and we need to repent because we've not saved anybody." If there was true repentance, you would do that, would you not? No, but old Esau Edom, he doesn't. His job is to make sure, as a son of hell, to pervert the straight way of the Lord. They can't help but do it. In Acts 13:8, we go to next. Acts 13:8. And now this happened with the Spirit coming upon Paul. And I want you to know that when that Spirit begins to come as it's coming, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. When that spirit comes and destroys the sorcery, the sorcerer is going to be exposed. And his job is to continually just pervert the straight way of the Lord. We read, "But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'You are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?'" That's the purpose of these creatures, is to make crooked the straight way of the Lord. Now, I guess Paul didn't have that old-time religion that makes you love everybody. I guess Paul didn't learn the snake rule taught to us from the pulpits: if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. They don't repent, tell their brethren we've done wrong. No, they just come in and they begin to pervert the way of the Lord. And they know that their gig is up. When we start praying that this sorcery ceases, because they've been using sorcery to cast, to bring about their false wonders. I want you to know something. I've come to realize this, that if you, the Bible says, "Do not lay your hands hastily upon any man, lest you partake of their sin." These men that are practicing this stuff, we better be careful about having them lay their hands on us and pray. I think it goes both ways. And I'm beginning to see this more. I know of a couple that they came to one of these that I'm talking about. And this so-called man of God prayed over their pregnancy. And he says, "You're going to have a perfect pregnancy." Made a prophecy. Well, they didn't have a perfect pregnancy. It was a horrible ordeal. Now, why was it? Could it be? And this, now we're getting into this sorcery. A man just gave me a book this week as a result of last week's sermon. What's the title of that book? Christ and Satan. Cross Between Christ and Satan. I started looking into it. It's back in the 20s. It was a Christian preacher talking about what he began to notice about people that were going to those that practiced sorcery for healings. They would get healings, but what they got in return was even worse. Somewhere, some way, in some manner, somehow, something worse happened. Don't be surprised if you've had your broken arm prayed over by one of these guys that the arm doesn't heal. Because their sorcery is coming to an end. Have you ever wondered about the day that old Elijah confronted the Baal priests? You see, I want you to learn to start hating these Baal priests. Now, on that day, where is it? 2 Kings 18. Fire came down from heaven. Who sent that fire? Who sent that fire? Someone might say God. Then I would say, which God? What do you mean, which God? We got the idea that only God can send down fire. I want to put you in your mind right now that those Baal bastards that were there on Mount Carmel taking on Elijah, they didn't know that Elijah had cut off their sorcery. I want you to know that Revelation 13:13 says that Satan and his people can call down fire. And those Baal priests fully intended to call down fire. And they knew where they were getting their power. You know how I know they knew? Oh, they were letting the people believe that they were following the God of Israel. But they knew they were getting their power because when they couldn't fire to fall, they started what? Cutting themselves. This is a demonic practice created by demons and done for demons, and they were trying to activate the demonic power as they were cutting themselves to get the fire to fall, but old Elijah had cut them off at the pass. The point I'm pointing out here is that they have power in their prayers. They do wonders, but they're false wonders. And they planned on bringing that fire down, but the sorcery had ceased. And the reason they came and attacked this little church and this preacher at the time that they did, right at the time that we started exposing Satan's sorcery, accusing us of doing the very thing they do, is because Satan knew what he was doing. And they instinctively know that if the spellcasters are being prayed into hell, they know they're casting these double-think spells. Focus the trees. I'm starting to see men as trees. And I see that there are bad trees out there because they're bad men, disguised as good men of God. But their fruit is rotten. And you don't want them praying over you, believe me. And they're not going to get paid much more for their fortune-telling and their little scamming the way they were doing it. The day the Jackson began to hate, I love that poem by Kipling, Rudyard Kipling. I think it was godly hate that he was talking about. And I want you to have a godly hatred for that man of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He is going to be revealed, doing my part, to blast away these serpents. He's going to be revealed for what he is. And when? Right about now, as we are. I thought, first of all, we'd done it with that track. We know who he is, but now we're pulling it off, and he's into focus, and we're coming out of, running out of time. Our Father in heaven, I don't know if I did such a good job on this one, but Lord, you can take it and make it work real good. Make it work in the hearts and the minds of the people that they begin to see the deceivers in their midst. Let these barking dogs that think they're going to stop a train be run over. Let their gig be up and let them cut themselves and mutilate themselves like the prophets of Baal of old. Their power is cut off. Stop the spells and send the spellcasters to hell. And Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would bless the yours, bless them and keep them, make your face shine upon them, be gracious to them, lift your countenance upon them and grant them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We're adjourned.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is our website, scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters, the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide, on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio, dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawb.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Prado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.
stranded, abandoned, choking with weeds. Your heart is a wasteland, brother. Prayer like a wildfire out of control. Pray like a wildfire scorching your soul. Pray like a wildfire in the dark. Pray like a wildfire. Pray for its spark. Like a great hero sunken deep in a trance. Now your country has only final chance. Pray like a wildfire out of control. Pray like a wildfire scorching your soul. Pray like a wildfire lighting the dark. Pray like a wildfire. Pray for its spark.
Pray, brother, sister, son. It's the only way. It's the day of the Lord. So, oh Lord, we pray. Make Jacob a fire and Joseph a flame. And the house of Esau stubble, completely burned away. Oh Lord, burn, baby, burn.
Unchain our nation, shatter the spell. Hurl the enchanter deep into hell. Lighting the dark. Prayer like a